seed and that this and that, and so many different things, and we have to be submissive, or it's a matter of this is how relationships with Krishna are established. So this relationship with Krishna, that's the natural tendency of the living entity. The living entity naturally is a devotee of the Lord. And that devotee means trying to make the other person happy. So if we can appreciate this, then we start to see that it's not just some ordinary thing, that the spiritual masters in the line are giving us the different ways, different aspects, depending upon the situation or the time, their personality. They'll bring out different aspects of the Absolute. So there's no contradictory here, it's just a natural flow of this transcendental benefit. So, and the idea is that we are benefited by this, but it also should be that we are, means we're benefited by this, but it also is important that others are benefited, because everyone being part and parcel of Krishna, then everyone likes to be, everyone's natural position is to serve the Lord. So by having this position to naturally serve the Lord, then that's only going to happen if it's distributed. Because people by nature are not interested, not at least directly. Indirectly, of course, because the soul's inherent nature is to serve the Lord. That actually can never be given up. It's just that whether they recognize that's what they're doing. Right? Like people may do something, and you say, oh, you're doing this, and they'll deny it. You know? In their mind, no, I'm just doing what I do. I'm not doing what someone else does. Right? I mean, my uniqueness and everything is different. So even if I'm doing exactly what someone else does, my exactly doing that is unique and different from someone else's doing of exactly the same thing. Which it was like a cartoon in the Harvard Lampoon, which was a underground magazine of Harvard University by, you know, these, you know, whatever it is, your campus intellectuals. So it was a time when, you know, the hippie scene was all happening. And so then there's this discussion where you have this one hippie, right? And he's dressed in a, you know, his unique expression of his philosophy, of his hippiness. He has on his, you know, black felt hat and his work shirt and his, you know, bell-bottom pants and his work boots, right? And, you know, and he wears them also in his own unique way. And someone's commenting, why do you do this? Why can't you just blend in and be like everybody else? No, why should we be like everybody else? We have to establish our own thing like that. We're not part of this, you know, nonsense kind of like system that everybody is just trying to make everybody the same, this, that, blah. So the conversation ends and he walks off. And as he's walking off, coming in the other direction is another hippie who's dressed exactly in the same way, wearing it exactly the same way, and walking in the same way. Right? So even though it's the counterculture, you had to dress how you dressed in the counterculture, otherwise you wouldn't be part, you'd be counter the counterculture. So this, there's an idea that I'm unique, but it's for oneself. But the spiritual world is actually is uniqueness. Consciousness is the same. The external manifestation is unique. The material world, consciousness may be different. They try to make what you can see the same. So the difficulty comes is that because of that, then there's no one philosophy. And this lack of a singular philosophy creates all the various disunity within the world, right? All the social, the religious, economic, all these different things, they're all different because of the lack of the common philosophy, which is the common ground of the living entity. So what Krishna consciousness is about is that the members of the parampara are giving this one philosophy, but from their different approaches for one preaching to the different mentalities at the particular time. And also just they themselves are unique individuals, but you see the basis of it is always the same. So the parampara then is defining what is the ways in which we can please Krishna. And that interest to expand Krishna's pleasure. And so this is expanded by more personalities involved. It's expanding anyway because it's on the transcendental platform. Being on this transcendental platform, then being on this transcendental platform, then all the pastimes are always expanding. But it's not that one can't improve on the eternally expanding, you know, by the intensity of the pastime. You can also improve on the quantity. Right, so unlimited quality is expanding in unlimited quantity. Right? That's the transcendental platform. Otherwise, also we see in the material world, you have the two schools. You know, is it all about quality, you know, then not in quantity, or it's about quantity and not worrying about quality. Right? You get that in the social circles or intellectual circles, even economic circles, right? You go to the warehouse, there's no frills, you have to take, you know, this big huge monster thing and everything's already in boxes. And so it's quantity, but the quality is less, right? Or you go to the boutique and everything is very high quality, but the quantity there is very less, right? Except for the money you have to pay for it, of course. But so then there's always these ideas that no, we are running, you know, it's the quality that's important, so quantity doesn't matter. So that would be what would be unique when we see is that the parampara is being factually applied, is that the two are happening at once. We see that's one common quality of all the acharyas, is that they're delivering quality in quantity. Right? So then that's the mission. How to deliver the understanding and the mood and the practices of pleasing Krishna, right, to as many people as possible. Right? That's what the mission is. Now, this mission, then to make it work nicely, one is you're not necessarily working on the Shuddha Sattva platform. So in the pure platform, it's not a, it means anyway there's training how to do something. But because there's the understanding of the mood and the skill, management is very minimal. Right? If we hear about Krishna's pastimes or Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there's very big things going on. Radha and Krishna are coming together. You have to find out where Krishna is. Right, you know, Braj is a big place. You have a general idea. But at the same time is the pastimes aren't, you know, this is not like some, you know, European dinner where you, you know, sit down and everyone talks. Once you sit, right, then they put the pasta on, right? Because, you know, you don't want to eat pasta cold. So once you sit at the dinner table, then they'll put it on the fire. Right? Because, you know, it should be hot. So you talk, and then there's this and that. It can take 3-4 hours, right? You know, this is, you know, what else is there to do, right? You have eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, so I, you know, like that. So then it limits. But in Krishna's pastimes, then there, without being bored, a pastime just naturally turns into the next one. And how does that happen? Because it's arranged. Right? Radharani has thousands of assistants, and they're arranging all these things. So that takes management. But because it's happening on the transcendental platform, no one's motivated, everybody has the same purpose. Therefore we see it runs very smoothly. So minimal application of management has to be there. We see the volume of management is how to deal with something that doesn't go correctly. Does that make sense? But the actual principles of management are very simple, right? What has to be done, whoever is supposed to be doing should know their position in it and what they're supposed to do and what the result is. Right? So how long does that actually take to explain if the person is intelligent, focused, and has that same proper attitude? It doesn't take any time, right? So therefore, very high-level management is going on within the transcendental pastimes. But because there is no mundane differences to cause all these different ways of doing something, because the focus being on Krishna, it runs very smoothly. You simply have to tell somebody, then who either tells others or arranges it like this. It's very simple. It just gets done. Right? It's not, well, I'm happy doing this, and I don't know, or it's not a matter of that. Right? Means the gopi is fanning Radha and Krishna, pulling on the fan. And Rupa comes and says, leave that fan, go pick flowers. It's not like, well, why can't someone else pick flowers? I'm fanning the fan, and I'm doing a fine job of it. Did I do something wrong? No. So then why do I have to go? You know, no, and it's nice. I'm here, Radha and Krishna there, I'm doing this nice. You know, you could go on and on and on, right? Pretty standard, right? Like that. But no, they just leave the fan and go. They go pick the flowers. They bring the flowers back. It's not that, oh, I have to do this and I don't really want. So you take, you know, 3 hours to pick the flowers. No, they just go out quickly, pick the flowers and bring them back. Then you see that Radha and Krishna finish that aspect of the pastime. Radharani is dressed again as she was before the pastime. Right? And Lalita, she was off organizing for the rasa dance. Right? So that's a little bit bigger arrangement, right? Arranging the kunj is smaller, arranging the rasa dance, now it's big. Right? You know, you're having thousands of people dancing, you need some space, and the space should be nice and arranged and clean. So that means all that area has to be swept and decorated, right? And you're going to have a dance, you need music. So that means all the instruments, they have to be out there, and it takes a while to tune them. You know, like that. So all that has to be done, right? Arrangements, what will be the nice, what will be this, that, all this idea, how they'll get there, what will be the things, and from there, where they'll go. So Lalita's been arranging this, and she comes back then, having arranged all that, to now the present pastime that's been going on, that's just ended. So she's figured that by this time, that pastime we've finished will be ready for the next. When she comes, she expects to see Radharani in a slightly disheveled condition. But she's not. She's exactly as she was when they brought her to Govindastali. Right? So she's bewildered. How is this? And that's because, you know, whatever they were doing, everybody was willing to stop whatever they're doing, adjust what they're doing, just by being told to do it. Right? And it's not that they don't know what it's for. It's for pleasing Krishna. You may not exactly know how it's going to. Or even if you do, but the point is being willing to take part. So it works very smoothly. So it is very organized management. But do we ever think of it as management? Never. Right? because of the transcendental position, that everybody wants to please Krishna. Therefore, it goes very nicely. People are inspired because they want to do this. It goes very well. Okay? Now, so that means in the opposite, that people, it doesn't want to go well. What does that mean? You need more obvious, observable administration. Right? Does that make sense? So, now, in the spiritual world, that's not so necessary, because it's there, but it runs so smoothly. It's just part of the scene. You know, just like if you're seeing some drama or some entertainment, right? There's a area that they allow you to see, right? The stage. So when they open the curtain, then you can see that. But what you don't see is what's behind the stage, behind the scenes. That's a huge operation. So only what's ready comes out, you see it, and then goes back, right? So now in normal situations, you don't have curtains everywhere and stuff like that. So, you know, it's obvious. So then the management is seen. Does that make sense? So within the conditioning, then you have to have an observable organization. You have to have something that people can see, because that will create identity. Spiritually, you don't have to create identity. They already have one. I'm servant of Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? It's not, I'm servant of Krishna and I'm also... No, it's I'm servant of Krishna, that's where it ends. I may serve Krishna this particular way, but it's not I serve Krishna and I also have other identities. But in the material world, because of that, then you have to organize this according to these identities. Therefore, the Varnashram system. So that all the different identities can be coordinated together into a system that they can cooperate together. Right? And so that makes the social system, the economic system, you know, the interpersonal system, the family system, all work nicely. But now, more important than that, now they're cooperating, so that's good. Now you have everyone's attention. But now, more important is the spiritual. So, because of the same thing, the conditioning, one requires an observable spiritual organization. Right? Therefore, we see the acharyas establish them. All the acharyas have established them. And so we may complain, it's always like an organization, this and that, but the complaint means, why do we need it? You know what I'm saying? You know, the person is complaining, why are you putting me in a straitjacket? Whose fault is it? You understand? We're the one who's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? We can say, well, I prefer pictures on the wall rather than mattresses. But the point is people who can function with pictures on the wall don't bang their heads on the pictures. They look at the pictures. You understand? So, in other words, this concept of creating institutions, that is to affect what they do in the spiritual world without having to have an institution. The same organization is there, but you don't have to make it so obvious. So here it's made obvious because then there's a common identity. The spiritual world is common. We're servants of the Lord. Here it's, yes, okay, I agree I'm servant of the Lord, but I'm also, you know, I'm a brahmacharya, I'm a grihastha, and I have so much money, and I have this, and I've been around this long, and I'm this old, and I'm from this generation of initiation, or my spiritual master is this, and it's so unfortunate you didn't take initiation from him. But hey, he's in town, you can hear from him. You know, like this. So these kind of things that we go about are, you know, I've been here, I've done this so much, you know, how long you're the new, you know, it's we can go on and on and on with a list of all kinds of mundane reactions we have when our identity is seemingly, you know, compromised. You can't compromise, I'm servant of Krishna. But anything else, you know, I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm powerful, I'm beautiful, I'm knowledgeable, I'm renounced, that can be compromised. Right? Therefore, one has to have something that keeps the common identity. Right? So Ramanuja had his system. Madhva had his, Shankara has his. Everybody has their system. And then you can feel, I'm part of this, I do this and that. Means that's what, even you want to function on the material platform, you still have to do the same thing. Right? Even like we were saying before, even you have those persons who, I'm not part of the system. The modern culture goes on, you know, the materialism, the politics, the economics, you know, all, I'm not part of that. So where do they go? They all go to the same cafe and all drink the same, you know, whatever it is, coffee, and wear the same beret and all talk the same stuff. Right? So they make their own little club. Isn't it? You know? Then you can say, oh yeah, I could relate to that. Does anybody relate to Diogenes? Does anyone say, I want to be like Diogenes, right? He's got a barrel, he sits in it. Anybody comes by, he tells them he's not interested. He has no friends, no relations, nobody he's worried to talk to. Right? Totally independent. But do we hear about him? No. But anybody who creates a little group, a bunch of them get together, then we hear about it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that people are inspired when there's some common identity that they can work together with. That's how it works. So therefore we see that Srila Prabhupada has established ISKCON. ISKCON is simply the instructions of the previous acharyas put into a format that someone in the contemporary environment can relate to, at the same time as it perfectly delivers the tradition. You understand? But it has that identity as servant. That is the central point. That's what makes it a spiritual organization. If we go outside of that and try to rationalize the mundane identities other than simply that's the position within my as servant, the medium I'm using to serve Krishna, if we try to make it stand on its own, then you're actually creating something new, something different that won't function with the other because the identity is different. Oh, we're modern Western people and this and that, and so we have to do things differently. So then it no longer actually is in the mood of ISKCON. It's a different mood. It's a different identity. Right? And you can say, well, it's natural all these things will happen. But yes, the Varnashram system already accommodates all the different mentalities. And the interesting thing is these little groups, though they claim to be something that is more broad and more intellectual, they're very narrow and can't really acknowledge any other group. So how is that an improvement on the Varnashram system that already accommodates every group? Right? So that's the thing. Means, yeah. So the position of the society is that is it is simply the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. It's not something else. You understand? Devotion is always the highest. Knowledge is the next. Then devotion and that must be organized. You understand? You see the hierarchy? Then if we keep going with the hierarchy, then of course you need money to run the organization and people to run it. Do we see the hierarchy? That's how things practically work. But if you ever try to change that order, then it won't work. It'll always fall apart. You move economics is more important, or the political is more important, you know, like that, or the people is more, all of that will create failure. What's the use of people if they're not actually doing what the organization is for? Right? What's the use of money if it's not actually being used to make the organization run well? Right? What's the use of management if that devotion and knowledge and practices isn't being enhanced? Does that make sense? So everything is there, but it has its place. You know? You can say, no, I can put it in any order I want. You know what I'm saying? You know, why do I always have to have the plate there? You know, and then in that there's that other little plate. You know, it's like a, one plate's not enough, right? And then you have all these forks and knives and spoons and glasses. You know, why do I have to do that? Why can't I just put the glass in the middle? You know, like that. Looks a lot better. I'll take all the silver, stick it in the top, take it out, fan it out nicely like this. You know, the plates can go on the side. Hey, you can do it. You can do anything you want. But when they come to serve dinner, then you'll understand why the plate was there and the silverware was on the side. Does that make sense? There's reasons. People who organize this are more intelligent than we are. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're saying the person is running an international food chain, right? I don't mean like, you know, birds and mosquitoes that they fly from north down south and eat the bugs there, then they go back up there. You know, like we're talking about some kind of restaurant scene, food, everything like that, how to deal. It's very popular. They deal with a wide range of people. In fact, they even have sub, you know, things that deal with the high end and with the low end and all this different things. It's really well organized, right? And then we're going to say that, well, he knows how to do all that, but let's say to run a little, you know, lemon juice stand on the corner, you know, with the kids, he wouldn't be able to do. You understand? It's that stupid. So then to also say that, well, Prabhupada, he's from the spiritual world, so he really doesn't know what's happening here in the material world. We're the materialists. We're the guys in the know. So he wouldn't know how to deal with this. It's a reflection. It's a reflection. The reflection is the one that's the simple one. The original is the... You can run the... If you can scratch your head, you can also, by looking in the mirror, get your head scratched. That's the easy thing. In fact, it happens automatically. So, the idea that, well, Prabhupada, that was for time, place, and said this, that, blah. No. They come and they manage their mission that it works for as long as it runs. We can say, oh, you know, that was 60s and now is, you know, the whatever, now what are we in now? Are we the knots? Then what the, like I never figured out what do you call in between, you know, 11 to, you know, 19, like that. But whatever. So then, you know, it has changed, the world has changed. Ramanuja's mission still functions, right, after so many, like 1,000 years. Madhuas is still working. Shankaris is still working. You know what I'm saying? There's business houses that were established in 1100, 1200, that the same company, same registration, selling exactly the same thing, is still running. But somehow or another, in 40 years, no, we have to totally change it because we're the real intelligent ones. And Prabhupada, you know, he's spiritual, so you have to give it to him that he doesn't really know the material and all that. But we're the materialists, we really know. Like, we're the materialists, like how many of us were billionaires? Now that's a materialist. Okay, millionaires? We got one. You know? I mean, it's a couple of just in the billions. I mean, millions, okay, you know, does 5, 10, okay. But more than that? And how many of them are there? So how successful are we materially? You know what I'm saying? Think about it. When devotees leave this movement, what do they do? You know, not, and it's, and you can't say, oh, because we didn't get an education and this and that. It's a matter of, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. That's what they do. They go back to the beach and go surfing. They go back, they work down at the gasoline station because that's what they would have been doing anyway. So I'm saying, so we're not the greatly organized materialistic persons. We're whoever we are and we're trying to do our best to serve the spiritual master and his mission. But one has to understand this mission itself is very special in itself. So what we're saying, when Prabhupada says 10,000 years, he means 10,000 years. We may say that's not possible, but as we said, there's stuff that's going on already for so long. without change. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it works. Gravity works today. It will work tomorrow. You come back after 100 years, it'll still be working. And if you look back in history, they also talked about it. You understand? It's the laws of God always apply. Therefore, that since the mission is to establish the laws of God as the natural practice, they won't be against the laws. Right? So that's what makes it important. So then Srila Prabhupada, following the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then already following that line with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because up to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then what was going on in the Vaishnav society culturally, what was going on in the materialistic society was the same culture. Right? So it wasn't a need to make that adjustment. And so once you add the non-Vedic, this materialistic, because we have to remember the Mughals came in, they did, but a lot of it they took on what was local. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you're riding around in your little ponies out in the sand, and you come in and there's nice places and opulence and all that. They take that on. They use the same music, the same food, the same this, that. They adjust it according to their taste, okay? Instead of it being paneer, it's a goat or something. But the point is it's still the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So, but the British, naturally being of a different style of religious thought and their particular uniqueness in false ego, like you have to give them credit for that, right? No one's got better false ego than they, you know, those from that little island there. So they'll come in and it has to change it, right? It means the other is that there's some finesse to it, so you don't just call it pure false ego, right? You understand? You know, it's got some flair to it. That's why we're not mentioning the French, right? You know, like that, because it's just false ego without flair. You just call it false ego. False ego with flair. You know, you got the word panache. You got lots of nice names for it, like that. So then. Then at that time you're dealing with something that culturally is very significantly different. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he addressed that. And he made it apply to that group that he was working with, the intellectuals, the thoughtful persons. Because in those days people did think. You know? I was just saying something where I was saying that the vocabulary of a present-day person who speaks English, I think is 1/10 of it was 150 years ago. So even your common farmer and laborer had a better vocabulary than today's average person. Like that. So, you know, you had the very thoughtful, so he addressed that. So, you know, so the bridge has already been made. What is the mentality, how they think, how they do, why they do the different things? What is actually going back into the spiritual and material considerations on why they have this particular mentality? Bhaktivinoda, of course, already explained all that in detail. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, coming after, dealing with the same field, have never had to give a different explanation. Because it's the same. See, we have the idea that modern is different. No, modern's always modern. It always has been. Always will be. It's always the same. I'm different. I'm unique. We're making something unique. They always say the same thing. And so, it's the same mentality. The form of what you see may be different, yes. But it's still the same mentality. Just like the laws of God, they're the same. They address all the different uniquenesses there. It means you got to say there's definitely a difference between a sloth and an armadillo. Okay? Some differences there. One rolls up in the little ball and one hangs upside down. You know, so very different, but they still follow the same laws. It's, you know, So there's no difference there. But so the point is, if you follow God's laws, you can handle unlimited variety. When you don't follow God's laws, though it's said that you're different, you make everybody exactly the same. So then, Bhaktivinoda Kaur has established what it is. He's talking about, yes, the modern up-and-coming middle class, you know, is worried more about their money and prestige than they are about, you know, character and religion or spiritual. He said that, you know, in his writings in the mid-1800s. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is also saying in one of his writings in the 1920s or 30s, that the upcoming middle class is only worried about, you know, their money and prestige and position, and not so worried about, the culture, the religion, the philosophy, right? The students aren't interested and don't have respect for the teachers and all this, right? Does that make sense? Right? What do the sociologists say now? Same thing. And I was also reading one thing. It was comments by, I think, Roman, what do you call the guys? Senators. And they were complaining about the emerging middle class. And they weren't worried about, you know, the Roman, traditional Roman, you know, customs and religions and all that. And the young people are going crazy and not following it. You understand? It's always the same. Right? How does the economy work? It's flourishing, there's peace. Then you have a middle class coming out. It's not, then it goes between who's rich and poor. You know what I'm saying? The rich don't get any poor when there's not peace. And the poor, then, you know, they're already poor. They stay that way. And it increases. How does it increase? The rich people aren't becoming poor. It means the middle class are becoming poor. Then as soon as the wars stop, the middle class emerges again. How often are there wars? So that's how often the emerging middle class is emerging. Does that make sense? Right? So the modern concept is mentality, though we may not like to hear it because we identify with it, has always been there, and it's always exactly the same. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, now that you have to address it, because they had modern man before, but they were in such a small quantity, you don't need to address it. But now that you have to address it, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given the definitions. So this mandate has then been given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and then to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada took that mission of the acharyas that was given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where you have to give Krishna consciousness to modern society. And then, in doing that, Prabhupada found the formulas at work. You know what I'm saying? Because you're dealing in others. The Brits have their, you know, take on things. The French theirs, Germans theirs, Italians theirs. You know, the Slavs have theirs. The Orientals have theirs. This, that, right? So it's all there. But what is the one that's becoming more and more common? Right? Basically, you just take the British form and strip it of culture. And that's what's going all over the world. So, Prabhupada figured how to make that one work. And that's the one that works everywhere. So when we say we're Western, how many people are Western? It's a very small amount of people. Right? Like that. You know, it could be, what, 6%. You know, and that's probably on a good day. So most of the time when we say, no, but we're Western, most of the devotees are not Western. Though the Western culture, by the way, of the economics, food, this and that, is pervading much more than the 6%. But as far as personal values and stuff go, it's not representative at all. You understand? Prabhupada knew how to address that. Prabhupada was the intelligent one. He's just following in the footsteps of his guru and his param guru. they understand what's happening. Because like we said before, if you can run a big business, you can definitely run a, you know, lemonade stand on the corner with some six-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, that's what's happening here. So this mission, we have to appreciate that ISKCON itself represents the teachings of the Acharyas in a way that it can be nicely delivered. And the point is delivery means people take it, people surrender their lives. You try other things, they don't. Or they partially surrender. But that full surrender to get love of God, that won't happen. Right? So we have to use our intelligence to keep the mood, keep the instructions, keep the mood, and then apply it to the specific detail of where we want to apply it. But if you try to change the mood, change the principles it's working on, because one is so proud of one's own so-called intelligence or ability, one will fail. It's that simple. So we must appreciate that Srila Prabhupada's going to America is to establish these teachings, you know, in that environment, right? Think about it. Wouldn't it have been cheaper and easier to get to England? But he didn't. He went to New York. Right? Others already tried England. Right? So, he's done that. And then he actually went to the endeavor to incorporate the society, to make it into an official entity. So be recognized as an entity. So these things are important. So in other words, having that form, that then is how these things are going to be passed on. So one has to appreciate that this is not just, you know, something that he did, or, you know, he was a businessman, so you do these things, or... No, this is how all the Acharyas did. But before, is that it was being done like this, it was recognized because people appreciated what was done. Nowadays, if you can't see it on a piece of paper, it's not real. But at the time, I think Man Singh and that, the area in Vrindavan, between the four trees, you had Imlitala, you had Vamsivat, you had Sringarvat. I forget what the fourth tree is. But between that area, that was officially given by the you know, how you say, I'm not sure what you say, Akbarian governance, you know, to Jiva Goswami in recognition that he was the head of the Gaudiya institution. So that land was all actually, it was his. You know, so that it would go on nicely being used in spiritual direction. Does that make sense? So there they just would see what you're doing, or the king and Narottam Das Thakur. Right? They would recognize what's going on. So many times we see it's not uncommon that the administration would see the benefits of the spiritual organization and see that they get facilitated. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't so much for the individual as it was for what they were doing. Right? So they would accommodate all that, not just, okay, I like him, I'll take care of him, but everything else he's doing, I'm not in. No, it's what he's doing is what's important. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, it should be appreciated what Prabhupada has established. It's not just a thing. It just, you know, well, it happens to be ISKCON. No, it's specific. It exactly is the vehicle to carry that mood. But the point is it is simply a manifestation of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that passing down the instructions so that one knows how to serve and then one knows how to train others to serve. Any questions or comments? Yes. The mic, yeah, that side. the beauty of technology. It doesn't necessarily work.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, thank you very much.
Okay.
One question is in relation to, basically the question is how to harmonize the like principles and details, and how to apply, say, eternal laws of God, the Varnashram principles, which are universal, to particular mentalities.
Right.
And specifically, I wanted to bring up a quote from Srila Prabhupada.
Right.
This was October 1969.
Okay.
It's a letter to Tamal Krishnam, but at the time not yet Maharaj. And this was in, Srila Prabhupada was in the process of creating like a higher level of organization,
mm-hmm.
just beyond just the mere temples.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just less than 1 year before the creation of the GBC. So there was one, maybe the first or one of the first president's meetings. So Srila Prabhupada writes in a letter, "I've seen the agenda of your president's meeting. This is nice. One thing should be followed, however, as your countrymen are more or less independent-spirited and lovers of democracy. So everything should be done very carefully so that their sentiments may not be hurt. According to Sanskrit moral principles, everything has to be acted taking consideration of the place, audience, and time. As far as possible, the centers should act freely, but conjointly. They must look forward to the common development. That should be the principle." So if you could kindly help us understanding.
On this point.
On the point of applying eternal and universal principles with particular mentalities, respecting the local mentality.
So when he's saying there the Vedic moral principles, that's what's called niti. Niti is that practically what works, because here moral meaning is just all you're taking is what's right and wrong for the situation. Dharma means what's right and wrong according to its nature. So you're seeing the whole entity and another whole entity, what is actually their positions and relationships. So you see beyond just what's happening at the moment. Niti means you only take what's good and bad according to that moment of interaction. So that's why he's saying that niti would be applied. That's where your time, place, and circumstance is actually put into action. But proper niti is based on these bigger principles. Like, so a bigger principle he mentions there is every center is running individually but cooperatively. So each center is autonomous, but at the same time is they all cooperate. That's what makes it powerful, because if each place center is functioning on its own, it means you have your administrative focus as close to the ground as possible, because it's there. You have an individual center, its management is right there in the center, and they're seeing what is the practical on the ground and how they can organize their facilities. Now, in doing that, there's going to be, as they expand, overlaps with other centers, so therefore is need of cooperation or sharing information that they may have found. You know, like one temple worked out how to distribute big books, so then they gave that information to all the other temples, and everyone started distributing big books. So something comes along like that. I think there was something once Bhavananda was talking about, there was something to do with halava. Someone figured out a way to cook halava that would be, you know, economically viable to use in big quantities. And he said that revolutionized, you know, prasad distribution. So one temple figured it out, they shared it with everyone else. So you had all these different kinds of, so that will be a principle that's there, is that the individuals function on their own, but they cooperate. That's the thing in Varnashram. Brahmins function on their own, but they cooperate with everybody else. The Kshatriyas have their field that's completely separate from all the others, but they cooperate. So the idea that everybody is made the same and it has a over means the central management is actually dealing with day-to-day management. That won't work, because then you're moving your actual focus on the particular situation, or that, what I was saying there, that niti, farther away. And the more levels you put, the farther back it gets. So if you have GBC, then regional GBCs, and then, you know, your deputy GBCs and regional secretaries, and then the temple president, and then like this, then the actual person who's, you know, doing something, the distance between him and actually who's managing him is so far away that it won't have that same dynamic focus. So that's why then that management is up to that president level. What's beyond that is what are the principles? What is that spiritual vision? What is the mission of the acharyas actually being implemented by the temple president? That's something that goes beyond and is functioning on the eternal platform. So though the temple is managing according to natural principles that work and doing that in Krishna consciousness, it's not that they will necessarily always notice if what they're doing is in line actually with the mission. That's what people above that are for. That's the international, that's the overarching aspect, is that what is that person doing? Is it in line actually with Krishna conscious application? That's there. So that's where the principle is. Then the local management, the local authorities, the person on the ground doing the job, they're the ones that see time, place, and circumstance in application. Now, if you want to have a very efficient, overarching vision, they also have to appreciate and understand detail. Though they're not going to apply it, so they have to see that the direction that is being given based on the principles doesn't interfere with detail. But at the same time, is that difference in the between the principle and detail is observed or thought to be present by the on the ground managers and doers, then it has to be explained by that higher authority how it's not. How it actually, what are the principles? In other words, if you know the principles and you know details, you can show how they connect. The difference is just because you know the principles and the details doesn't mean that you're the guy applying the detail. Does that make sense? The guy applying the detail has to know the detail. Better he knows also the principle, he'll be more efficient. But if he doesn't, as long as someone who does know is telling him, it'll work. So the idea is the president knows the detail and is supposed to be learning the principle from what's higher than him. And who's higher than him knows the principle. That's what their business is. They also know how it applies in the detail. So then when you're considering, it's not that you have to... means because every detail is based on principle. There is no detail that's not connected back to the principle. It's just a matter of how much knowledge and experience you have to be able to see the connection. So many times what happens is one has experience in a limited field. So then when he develops an understanding, a good understanding, or even understands principles, his own area of being able to apply it is in a very specific. So if the detail is different, they can't see the connection to the principle. So then they'll say, oh, you have to change this. No, it's a matter of deepening one's understanding of the principles where one sees that it does apply to everything everywhere. There's no one left out. Then you can see, okay, what's right and wrong. In other words, what he mentioned there, democracy and independence, right? That individual thought, that the maverick, you know, he does it himself. So those points that Prabhupada's mentioning, those aren't the problems. Right, the being an individual is not a problem. Self-realization means you're an individual. Right? In the spiritual world, everyone's an individual. That's appreciated. The problem comes is if in the pursuance of your individuality, you can't cooperate with others. So that's where the necessity of the democratic element. Democratic, the principle is it's something that everybody can get behind, can work together, can support. Right, because everybody's involved, so that means cooperation. So there again, he's mentioned individual temples, the autonomy, and their cooperation together. It already addresses the individual nature of the, you know, American mentality, and that the democratic or that working together. But it doesn't carry the form of the modern. It uses the original Vedic element of niti. You understand? So therefore it has more of a universal application. Because the democratic would have, the person situated in democracy would have, he could work within a democratic environment. How would he function in an oligarchy? Right? Does that make sense? How would he function in a monarchy? Or an anarchy? Any of these things, they couldn't function. But if you actually understand the original principles of individuality and cooperation, the point is even an oligarchy, they're individuals, and they cooperate. Even if you have a monarchy, it's an individual, but he still has to work and cooperate with whoever his assistants are. And the assistants have to cooperate. So the principles are all there. It's just how the structure that you organize it. No system can work without individuality and cooperation. But if you understand the principle, you can see how it universally applies. That's what Prabhupada's saying. But you have to understand is you therefore have to be able to accommodate the local, but it doesn't mean that you accommodate the local on the local's terms. You accommodate the local on the original Vedic principles, because they're the universal. And so with that, Prabhupada could talk to anyone, anywhere, at any time, and everybody was satisfied. It wasn't that, you know, he was a great talker. And even if he was, how many devotees have researched into conversation and diplomacy, how to relate with others, and taken courses like that? There's not one course like that. No one worries about it. You know? But Prabhupada was so good at that. But he wasn't good at that just from that external mundane. It was because he understood the principles in which everything functions. Then, and he was observant and intelligent to apply it to the particular situation. So that's what's necessary. That's what leadership means, is that they're intelligent enough and observant enough and dynamic enough to be able to apply what's the eternal to the present. Like that. And so that would take, you know, going back to the first part of the question before I mentioned the quote, is that therefore it's going to be knowledge and education that's going to make all that function. That's what's going to make it work. Because practical application are going on, so much experience is there, but many times, if without knowledge, one doesn't connect one experience with another. And so then you get a problem. Because otherwise, even you take democracy, Europe is a democracy also. So many places have democracy, but they somehow or another don't appreciate the democracy of the place where this letter was written. Because that democracy, even though it's addressing the individual and the cooperation, they're not addressing culture. So that's why specifically uses Vedic, the morality is niti, is they're not looking at bigger pictures of family and this and that. Right? The European concept is everybody has a family, so therefore you work together in such a way that that works. That's why seemingly on some levels they are not as advanced as these cultures that won't worry about that. Right? In that more Western culture, then they don't mind breaking up families if they get their work done. If they can make a contract over Thanksgiving weekend, that's just more money for them. But other places wouldn't do that because that's an important time with the family. The person's got a good family, he's inspired to keep working. So it's actually longer term. You're looking more at the nature, the dharma of the, not complete, but more. Well, the other one doesn't look at that at all. It's just a matter of what works right now. I can make this contract, we got more money. I'm sitting back laughing. You know, and then you got, you know, a few months, you got a month later, you got Christmas. You know, New Year's. You got times when others aren't working because they're so worried about people and families and all that. And we're making money. So because of that, the rest of the world doesn't like them. Though it appears they're effective for a short time. Always short time. The other is then as long because it includes a greater picture. Because the niti is coming from artha, and artha is coming from dharma. So you can be very effective working with niti, but it doesn't work in the long run. Just to give an example, an old example, Dhritarashtra worked on niti. Duryodhana worked on niti. Right? Kanaka was their Brahmin who defined niti. It always failed in the long run. They got immediate results. They got the Pandavas out of Hastinapur, they had the house of Lak, they got banished, they got into the forest for 14 years. But it always kept coming back because they weren't dealing with Dharma. Yudhishthira worked on Dharma, so seemingly it worked slower, right? He's supposed to be the emperor, but actually from, you know, his position to when he was emperor, it means he was emperor, then lost, and then this and that. There was, you could say there was, you know, 20 years lost there. But it established it in a longer term. So we're thinking of ISKCON in a matter of 10,000 years. We can afford to work on that. Though, the same time as Dharma is the principle. Artha is then how you set it up. And Niti is exactly dealing with the point in hand right now. So you use all three. The problem is if you only use Niti without Dharma, then it won't last. Because the Artha comes from Dharma. So you've gotten some little bit, because if you work with the Dharma of the moment, but you're not seeing the Dharma of the moment compared to the bigger situation. So that's where the principles are important. That's what the top management sees, because the tendency is that the practical management will be focused on more on the niti and the artha, and very little on Dharma. If they're trained better, then they'll do better. But then that means then there's less for the higher management that they have to get involved. So the more they're trained, less involved. The less they're trained, the more involved. But the involvement is how to understand the proper mood and direction and knowledge and practices. Because as far as practical management, why would you want to separate practical management from the on the ground anyway? I think the natural thing is you don't want to get more than three levels. The guy actually cleaning the floor, the supervisor, and the guy saying the floor should, you know, that the floor should be clean. You don't want to add a fourth. It loses the directness. So that means, but there's more than just seeing that the floor gets wiped. So there's a bigger picture. That's what above that is supposed to do. The practical management, you only went to three levels. Like that. Does that work? Does that make sense? Like that. So the point is what Prabhupada has established, because he has presidents, and they're good presidents. In those days, the presidents were famous. I knew more about the presidents than I did about the GBC. I remember the first GBC I saw was when we got on the plane to come to India in 1974. Then I saw Rupanuga, you know, and they said, hey, geez, well, what's that? You know, but you'd heard about, you know, what is it, Karandar in L.A., and then, what was it, Bhaktadas, it was in Chicago, you know, and like this. You heard about the presidents, because the presidents were big. They managed, they organized, they had the ideas, they got it done, they inspired the devotees, they did everything. And the GBC was just to see that they were doing that properly. So the presidents are big. And now as you hear about GBC, you know, because you're around, you know, who's the temple president? Who's the manager? Who is? Nobody knows. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And talking about practical application of principles in changing society, even ISKCON changing society. You mentioned how temple presidents were a very, very central figure because they directly managed maybe 90% or more than the society.
Right.
Now the demographics are very different. Like in the temple, maybe what, 3%, 5% of people live in the temple. And so there is a more like, there's not like a direct management from temple presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
So my question is, sometimes it looks like more like when a person says a grihastha, a member of the congregation, even if initiated, more like, looks almost like a free market economy, because people do choose who they feel inspired from, whom to give the money to.
Mm-hmm.
So how that change in demographics should inform our ISKCON development.
How will that affect?
Yeah, in other words, before, you know, in the 70s we had a structure.
Okay.
And now we do have another structure where most of the people are not directly under the management.
Yeah. I would say also is if you check into the old writings of Prabhupada there and even back into the 50s, Prabhupada didn't see it as a change. We're looking at it because we're seeing the detail as a change. But Prabhupada, you know, many places would mention everybody's not going to live in the temple. And I remember reading one thing where he was talking about how you would preach in the congregation. He's one person preaches to 10 people. Then he invites 10 people to his house. Then as they're trained, he continues to, they come to his house. But now those 10 people, they start on their own inviting 10 people to their house. And then as they're trained, they do like this. So you're always meeting with the person you're training, right? And then they're going to your meeting and then having their own program. So basically speaking, in 2 days a week, you're getting trained and you're training. And already by doing that, it's increased. So if I give deal with 10, and each one of them deals with 10, right? So then right there, you already have 100. You know, just so, well, it's actually 110, but whatever. So it's you already have more. Now if that continues one more, you already have 1,000. One more again, that's 10,000. So Prabhupada already given the idea that the temple is going to be the central place where you can see the direct activities of devotional service being performed in a nice way. Because community means the focus is more on indirect. They're having to engage their house, their family, their money, their position in Krishna's service. That's indirect devotional service. Right? While chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, all that, that's direct. So the temple shows what standards of deity worship, standards of the Vaishnava etiquette, standards of festivals, standards of all these things. So that creates the inspiration for the whole community. So it actually is just the natural next step. It's not actually a change. It's actually where it should go. Just like you can say, well, there's a boy and there's a girl. You know, and then it changes because the boy and the girl are together, right? And they get married. Then it even completely changes. It gets really freaky because they start having children, right? And then you have the enzymes, you know, because now that they have children, then now before, you know, the parents weren't so interested. They didn't feel their choice was good. But now the grandchildren are here. Now the grandparents are very involved in that. So now you're dealing with, you know, 30, 40, 50 people. I mean, this is freaky. No, but that's just normal. So you take one person, send him out in the middle of nowhere, he finds some place, starts a little something, starts developing, they develop, establish a temple, and the temple establishes the community. So it's just natural it will go like that. So it's not actually a different kind of scenario, it's a matter of being able to expand and accommodate. Just like when one person is there, and he you know, has a little program, does some prasad, does some kirtan and all that. But as it goes, then, you know, they have a pujari department, they have a sankirtan department, they have a college preaching department, they have so many different things. That's just natural. So you can't, it wouldn't say that, well, the big temple is a different demographic than, let's say, the small temple. It's just the natural expansion. So the community is a natural expansion. Now, if people want to use the community politically against the temple, yes, that's a different demographic. That's called, one, not understanding the mission, two, not understanding management, and three, that's just called being political. Because you're not really seeing how it expands to everywhere. Just like in Vrindavan, where if you would say that, okay, it's all grihasthas, right? In Vrindavan and the Leela. But you could say that there's one house that's the central house in Vrindavan. And that's Mother Jashoda's house. So the principle of serving Krishna in the house is what goes on there. All the others do the same. So it's not, it's just a matter, you start one place and expand from there. So it's not, there is no friction, there's no problem. It's just a matter, as I mentioned before, expanding one's understanding of it. And then through association, that's why the association is important, because let's say one temple president, you know, in this example, one temple president is really focused, let's say, on college preaching. Another one's really focused on, you know, developing the devotees, you know, the devotees, their sadhana. Another one's developed on, you know, fundraising. So the thing is by that association, then how they've applied Krishna consciousness to their particular focus, that can be shared with others. So you expand your understanding. That's why association is so important. You gain those moods in that. That's why it says, Rupa Goswami says, associate with like-minded persons who are more advanced. Because the like-minded, you have a common ground, and more advanced than you'll develop. So it's the same thing. That's the whole idea of the temple presidents are organizing, giving that association and seeing it's going on. They have their community. Then you have senior devotees above that are giving that association and seeing that it's expanding. So it's just the same principle that goes on in the spiritual world. Just it's applied into a formula that can be related to here. Right? Is that okay? So we'll end here. Ciao. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.